Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
You know, I was just talking to somebody this morning about some of this, and you know, one of the things about believing for things that are to come is knowing when to take those steps forward. Just like in this song that we're talking about, we know that God's promised things. We know that there's things to come. But sometimes we have to be willing to press forward into those things. He's going to give you things that He speaks to you about. He's going to say things to you. But when you're scared and when you're nervous are the moments that you have to take those steps forward. It's taking a step in faith. Knowing that what's been promised, regardless of what you see, will come forth. It's a really powerful thing in our lives. Because it requires a step without knowing where that step might lead. But it shows obedience in a place that He needs you to be obedient. So much about even what's going to happen today is about letting go of the things of this world and what you have going on and just saying, God, it's dead. It's going down and I'm new in You. And being new in Him means that these things that seemed impossible, these things that seemed they couldn't happen, man, they're unlocked for you. You got a tool that unlocks all of those secrets for you, and it's the Holy Spirit. But you gotta let Him move. Because that's the thing, is it is a still, quiet voice. And sometimes we let what we think and what we see dictate what moves we'll make. But starting to make moves within the kingdom is realizing that those steps might not always make sense. What to us seems totally wrong can be God's way of saying, hey, I'm working this in your life. Let me do it. It's not by might. Oh, come on. It's not by anything that we can do. It's by who He is within us. And it's us learning to take those steps as He orders them. This is something that we've been talking about. And it's because I think He's wanting some of you to take some steps. And He's saying, I'm already speaking. I'm already giving them to you. But you got to start letting go of the things that you think you know. And just listen to me. Do what I've asked you to do. Be obedient, move forward, understand that the secrets have already been given. The promises have already been given. Everything in your life has already been taken care of. You've been victorious. Whew. This is something to get excited about. This is something to be happy about. When we say this is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. We gotta rejoice. We gotta start living our life like we have victory. We gotta start living our life like we got something exciting. Like we got something to live for. Like we have life and life more abundantly. Our lives should be a reflection of who He is. Man. Whew. Man, this is even encouraging me. Because if there's things in your life that aren't a reflection of who He is, man, let's start letting Him go. Let's start sloughing Him off. Let's say that old man is gone. You know, there was this really cool thing that I enjoyed learning when I was younger, and it was about the wineskins. And He tells us that we are a new wineskin. But the thing that I liked learning about was how you could not put new wine in an old wineskin. And that's the thing, is when we say, God, we're going after you, we gotta mean, God, we're going after you. It's time. God's saying, it is time. It is time that my church doesn't just sit and go through the normal. It is time that you become who I created you to be. It is time that you let go of the old man and become the new, like I've promised you. He's got things he wants to do for us, and we hold ourselves back. We say, no, we really want this, God. When he's saying, gosh, just let it go, and I will give you so much more. It's more than we can ask or think. It's more than we could ever want. We just gotta trust him. We gotta know that when we take those steps forward and they're ordained by God, that there is nothing that can come against you. That he's made all things possible. That mountain has been removed. Whew. This is gonna be important. Because as you start to let this stir within you, as you start believing God for your healing, as you start believing God for those emotions that you can't seem to control, as you start believing God for the things that you're feeling are burdens in your life that you can't seem to get rid of, as you start letting him to do those things for you, man, there's gonna be a moving that happens, like a rumbling that just flows right out those doors. Because that's the thing. Church isn't meant to just be within these walls. Man, he lives within you. It's meant to be every place he takes you. It's meant to be everywhere you go. When you step into your work, that mission field is meant for you to reach. When you step into that school, even our little kids, I don't care how old they are. If you teach them that God's given them the secrets of the kingdom, they're gonna begin to believe for things that even you felt were hard to believe for. Trust me, I know. Because my kid was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes in September, and I still watch her in the moments where I'm frustrated. I still watch her tell me, but Mom, I know that God's gonna get rid of it. And that's the thing, is we gotta have faith like a child, where when the things that are spoken to us, when the things that are given to us are things we run with, that we don't keep questioning, that we don't keep saying, God, that's a little too hard for me. That when he tells us, we say, God, you said it, I believe it, and I'm doing it. When we start to operate this way in our lives, it's called operating in the kingdom. And all the things that you come in here and listen to and believe will start to manifest within your life, not just be words on a page, but be living.
You know, little Lonnie's going to be our testimony, and we're going to hear great things out of a little voice of a child. There were so many years that my son, my little jumper up here, who would, you know, I would share the word with him. We went to church together. We learned together. And there were times that out of the mouth of babes comes the answer. There were times I was worried. And he goes, Mom, you're not supposed to be worried. You can be concerned, but did you pray about it? And so even from our own kids, we hear things. I hear my mother's voice in respect to prayer. She was a great prayer warrior and just amazing. And I have this word right here. It's Jeremiah 29:13. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. You know, too often we allow others to pray for us. We seek others to pray for us because they're prayer warriors, because they just know, they have the ear of God. But you know what? So do we. Each and every individual has an opportunity to love the Lord, to seek Him, to hear from Him. And too often, we don't think we're capable. We don't think that we have the courage to walk in His ways, but we do. We have His Word. And His Word, you find whatever your situation is in the Word, and you stand on that Word, and you give it back to Him, because He says we're to remind Him. He doesn't need reminders, but we do. And it's, we have to be encouraged and know that God is there for each and every one of us. It's not limited to prayer warriors. It's only limited by your limitations. We have to walk in faith. We have to have strength, and we have to grow in Him. For those of you that are getting baptized today, I'm so excited for you. As we begin our walk with the Lord, He grows us up. We start as little children, and then we start growing up in faith. And so sometimes our prayer, answer prayers are a little longer, but they have such depth. They have such richness. And so I encourage you to listen to the Word if you can, to read the Word, to have that one-on-one relationship, because it is so important that you have that. So then if you're standing in the grocery store and you see someone in need, or you're at work and you see somebody that you can pass that word on, I want to let you know that God opens the door for you to talk to them. You know, we stand there with our heart pounding and in fear, but when we speak the Word, there are times when people just, they're just so hungry, and they cry, and they, how do you know? And you didn't. You just know the Holy Spirit gave you words to speak. So don't let a day go by without asking the Lord, where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to share with? And read the Word. If you can't read it, then listen to it. But just become strong in Him. Because as you become strong in Him, your countenance will change. And people will see the light in you. And they will want what you have. And then you can give them why you're so strong. Because we have Jesus in our lives. And you know what? We're not boring. We're fun. We can have such a great time. And whatever you have to give up that you think was so deep and you needed it, when you give it up, He gives you more. And He gives you better. So it's just a matter of that we have to be there ready for Him to take away those things, to peel away the things that are not of Him and He doesn't want you to participate anymore. And just know that joy will come. It'll be so strong, and you will have courage through the deep and dark hours. You will have joy in the midst of trials. And that's a hard thing to understand. And when people see that, they want what you have. So be encouraged and read the Word and get close to Him. Thank you.
I read a story a couple weeks ago, and it actually just skipped my mind until this morning, and the Lord brought it back to me. So I believe someone needs to hear this today. There was this young mom in the supermarket, and she had a 3-year-old in the cart, and a 13-year-old son with her. And how many here have taken 3-year-old shopping, right? Oh boy, he was fussy and screaming and crying for something, and she looked over and there was this little green chem light there that he was reaching for. So she took it and she gave it to him, and he quieted down. So she went back to shopping, but then a couple minutes later, the kid started screaming again, and she turned around and the 13-year-old had taken the stick away. So she starts to yell at him. Then he breaks the stick and shakes it, and the light starts to glow the way chem sticks do. And he turned to his mom. He said, "Mom, didn't you know I had to break this to make it work?" You know, sometimes we go through things in our lives and we just don't understand, and we cry out, "God, why me?" Sometimes He needs to break that shell of our comfort zone and shake us up so our real light will shine through. We just have to have the faith. He's in charge. He has all the plans. We just need to walk out our faith. Folks, faith is an action word. We need to be walking it out.
Well, everybody said what God's put on my heart, but we just need to walk it out. The kingdom of heaven, we're ushering in the kingdom. And we need to step out of our comfort zones like Peter did on the in the boat. He stepped out into raging waves, and he did the impossible. And we can do the same things through God who strengthens us. And God didn't give us a spirit of fear. That's all in our head that Satan has given to us. And we just need to step out and run to the giant like David did, and knowing and trusting in God. So.
Just real quick, I just want to say that this week I was reading in Psalms 24, and it talks about the King of Glory. It says, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? And it says, those who have clean hands and a pure heart. And when I read that, I was grieved. I said, Lord, I don't have that. I don't have clean hands and a pure heart. How can I get there? It grieved me during the week, and I was praying, and this morning he showed me because I was also reading in Exodus 27:28. He talked about where he told Moses to build the sanctuary, to build the altar, and all the and for the people of Egypt to bring the jewels and the fine linens and everything to make the sanctuary so holy. And it goes into detail how to do all that. But the Lord was showing me all of that, Sylvia, all of that because of the blood that I shed for you. You have all of that in you already. You have all those jewels. You have all that fine linen already in you. There was one more thing, Lord, show me. And so this morning, it was kind of crazy, but I put on this blouse, and I was dressing, and I looked at myself in the mirror, and the Lord told me today, he says, you're going to be the referee, Sylvia, today. And I said, what, Lord? And he says, because the word says that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so whatever you bind on earth, that means if you bind sickness and release healing, that's what's going to happen. You have to just believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. And so, and you know what? Okay, a referee says, he says, time out. That's illegal. And he makes it right. And that's what the Lord showed me today. He told me that you're the referee, and to tell the people that whatever they bind on earth will be loose, will be bound in heaven, and whatever they loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So it's illegal. According to the word, it's illegal to have sickness. It's illegal to have torment in your mind. It's illegal to have fear in your mind. It's illegal to have doubt in your mind. All you have to do is speak it. All you have to say, the blood of Jesus has set me free. And so today, I just want to tell you that whatever is tormenting you, if you need healing, that's all you have to do. Lord, that is illegal in my body. According to your word, I am healed by the blood of Jesus. So I just wanted to release that to you. That's what the Lord gave me today. And I just pray that you use your authority in Jesus' name.
You know, we just sang a song that said we're surrounded by all these things, but you know what? We're surrounded by God. And that's exactly what the adversary does. He plays with our mind because he wants our heart. He doesn't have our heart. And God says, take every thought captive. Every thought. I don't know what you're struggling with at home, with your kids, whatever, but if it's a thought, and the adversary's put it there, you know what? I tell men this. I go, thoughts come like this 24/7, man. I go, when a thought comes and is it from God, get a hold of it and say, you know what? I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Get out of here. Leave. And you take care of that thought and say, no, God, I love you. I serve you. This morning, when I got up this morning, I started reading Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, it said that Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. You know, and to me, it's such a powerful verse because of this. I remember one time we were at a store, and we walked in, and we saw this young lady come in, and she had tattoos all over the place. She had piercing in her ears, her lips, her cheeks, her forehead, all over the place. And she had different color of hair, you know, pink, purple, brown, you name it. She had it, and my wife goes, look at that girl. I go, yeah, she's holy. She goes, what? I go, babe, she is holy. She's holy unto her God. I go, let me explain this a little bit more. I go, if I was a quarterback, say for the Dallas Cowboys, and I joined the team, they would give me a piece of paper, and they'll say, Rick, if you're going to join this team, you're going to be holy unto this team. Because you're going to join this team, you cannot skydive. You cannot do this. I have to go by their laws. I have to go by what they want me to do. And that's the way the adversary is. You know what? When we are all serving somebody. Who are we serving? You know, we are serving. And you know, and today as I see the baptismal tank here, you know, there's three steps to baptismal. The first one, you're baptized into God. When you say, God, you know what? Forgive my sins. I ask you into my life, Lord. I know you paid the price for me. Boom. That's the first one. The second one is when you get baptized into this water, which is pretty powerful. Because when you get baptized, the Bible tells me that once I go underwater, I become a new creation for Jesus Christ. Okay? And then not only that, what I am saying, it's a declaration that's saying, you know what, everybody? I gave my life to God. You're doing a declaration. You're telling everybody, look what I did. I gave my life to God. I am serving God. And the next one is the baptismal in the Spirit, speaking in another language. You know, and that is so powerful, people, because when you speak in the Spirit, there are so many things that can happen. When God tells you, Rick, if you're in pain, start speaking in the Spirit. Rick, your son's going through something? Then you fight in the Spirit. And I got my son in my mind, but God says, speak in the Spirit. And I come after whatever's coming after him. I said, King, I'm commanding that spirit that's over to leave in Jesus' name. So God is saying, you use your spiritual language. Rick, you pray in your mind, but you pray in the Spirit. So when you don't know how to pray, use the Spirit of God. And I tell you, you know what? Even when whatever you're going through during the day, when you're speaking in the Spirit, God is healing you. God is doing so much. And we got to use our spiritual language, people. If you don't have it, when you go underwater today, ask the Lord to give it to you. So when you come up, you'll be speaking in the Spirit. You know, a lot of times when we come to church, Sunday mornings, whatever, to me, sometimes it's just a routine. It's like, oh, you know, I'm going to go to church. Yeah, I went to church, this and that. You know what? It is an honor to come. We get to come to church. We get to be in His presence. We don't have to be here. We get to. You know, there's a lot of people that are out there right now that probably wish they can be here, but they can't. You know, God is getting ready to do big things. He's been doing big things, but I think this year, things are going to start happening that this wall is coming down. This wall is coming down because this church is going to grow. It's going to grow. And I just think about Rebecca because Rebecca's been saying this for I don't know how long already. We need to step out. We need to step out. She's been saying it over and over and over. And I want to tell you a couple of things I think to what she is saying. What I get is this, Rick, you need to step out. So when you go to the grocery store, Rick, and I tell you, pray for that person. Everything inside of me is telling me, you can't do that. Look who's here. Step out, Rick. Do what I'm asking you to do. He tells us in the Word, he goes, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, heal the lepers. That's our job. That's your job. That's our job. Our job is to do what he's telling us to do. And if he tells us to do it, it's because we have everything inside of us to do it. I told my grandson the other day, I go, you heal Nana. She is sick. God has given you everything inside of you. And he prayed for her. I go, no, I want you to pray for her again. I want you to pray for her like you know that everything inside you have what you need to pray for her. And so he got his grandma. He said, I command you to be healed. I command this need to be healed in Jesus' name. I say in the name of Jesus Christ, you are healed. Now receive that in Jesus' name. I go, that's the way I want you to pray. Because God has given it to you. That's the way we should pray in Jesus' name.
How many sense the presence of God this morning? Hallelujah. God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, God comes to church. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is the church, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. We are the church. Ooh, hallelujah. I'm excited. I know God's got great things for each and every one of you. Been praying, God, show us things that we've never seen before. Let it allow us to hear things, Lord, hallelujah, to direct us in where we're going. Amen. How many want to be directed by God? How many want God to show you things that in a place where you're going to be? How many want that? Hallelujah. Do you know that God is a God that desires to unveil things to you? Do you know that? Do you know that? Musicians, come on, man. God actually sings songs of deliverance around you. Amen. Around you. Hey, around you. And you have this incredible ability to get there and listen to the songs that are being sang. And he'll show you. He'll give you words. Hey, singing is an instrument. Hallelujah. People, hey, that's an instrument. You can say, praise God. God sings songs of deliverance around you. Can I tell you that? I'll tell you what, if there's any time that we need some deliverance, it's right now. How many know that? We need to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. How many say amen to that? And he's the truth. He's the way. And hey, don't worry about it. Amen? Just allow him. Oh, allow him to speak into your heart. Give him a chance. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, give somebody a high five this morning. Say, thanks for coming to church this morning. Hallelujah. We got a baptism to do this morning. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Mm-mm-mm. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was telling the team this morning, I was telling, hey, man. I said, I've been trying to close my sermons down a little bit, man, because I've been preaching way too long, I feel like, man. Because sometimes I think, you know what? Some things that are important can get lost in the rest of the sermon. How do you say amen to that? Come on, you guys ought to say, yeah, come on, make it short, bro. Give us a word and let's get out of here, man. Praise God. But I'll tell you what. God has an incredible ability to quicken those things that you hear. How many of you have ever forgotten what the sermon was in the morning after you got out? You go to eat lunch and you're sitting down, man, and somebody comes by, hey, man, sorry I didn't make it to church, man. What did Pastor preach about? And you just got through looking at the menu, you're going, tacos. yeah, everybody knows I love tacos. But hey, but you're looking at the menu, you go, oh, man, and then you look, I said, man, I really, bro, I did listen, I didn't sleep. And then finally it comes to you. How many of you ever experienced that? Because God speaks to your spirit. He doesn't try to go into your mind. Come on, can I tell you, is that okay? God speaks to our hearts. Hallelujah. And we engage the world most of the time with our brain. How many of you know that? You see that green light, you say, man, let's go. You see that yellow light, it's go faster. Amen. And then you see that red light and you slam on your brakes because you're just not going to make it. Hey, but know this, no, that God wants you to be just as engaged as you are as when you're driving down the road, just as engaged with his spirit when you're going down the road. He will say things to you, speak things to you. How many say amen to that? I love that, man. I love it when God comes to me while I'm driving or when I'm doing something I love it when he comes and he begins to speak and begins to say things. I love that. I love that, Hank. He's got to break it to make it. Mom, don't you know I got to break it to make it work? Ooh, come on, man. What God's doing in your life is important. Everything, every bit. Amen? How many say amen to that? Some things you don't understand. Is that right? Just wait. Just wait on God. You'll find that everything that he does for you, everything that happens to you, he's already in control. He already knows about it. The word of God says that all things are of God. It says, I think it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think, anyway, it says, all things are passed away, all things become new. Is that right? And then it says, and all things are of God.
So when you're in a new position, now everything that comes to you is from God. God is working in your life, and sometimes it don't feel good. How many say amen to that? God, this don't feel good, God. Come on, God, get me out of this. But guess what? God says, hold on. You'll see a diamond produced in what you're going. How many say amen to that? Can I tell you, just a field of diamonds sitting right here this morning. Amen? The jewels of the Lord, is that right? The ones that makes up his crown, amen? Come on, hallelujah. That's who you are. Well, I better get going, man, because if I don't, we've got some people to baptize, huh? Right. Be baptizing at 5:30 in the evening tonight. Hallelujah. My wife says, come on, make it short. I had a dream last night about this thing. I was dreaming it, and in the dream, it was running over. I woke up, I go, man, did I shut the water off? Oh my God. I said, I'm trying to think, did I shut the water off? Did I shut the water off? And then I remember shutting the water off. And I was telling to brother this morning about this, and he said, it's possible that God is speaking about overflow. How many say amen? How many want God? How many know that God wants to overflow your life? He wants to overflow. He wants water to pour out of you as easy, as easy. How many like watching waterfalls? Just that easy. It just gets there and goes over, falls off. God wants to pour through you. Amen. How many say amen to that? Be ready. Watch what God has to do. Well, if you will, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 14. I don't usually do this very often, but this last night when I was looking at this, the Lord said something to me. He said, have the people stand to their feet. And Debbie, I know it hurts. Can you stand? Can you stand? Could I get everybody to stand while we read this? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Everybody say all things. All things. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Amen. Life. Amen. Life. Everybody say life. Life. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Yeah. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. How many of you know there's a world out there that they don't get what we're talking about? They don't comprehend it. They don't see any use and they don't see no value. But it's the greatest thing in the world. How many say amen? They comprehended it not. I was gonna say comprende. Sorry, man. It's my bad Spanish. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Capital L. Amen. Light. Who's that? Who are we talking about? Jesus. How is it? Same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own. Can I tell you that you are his own also? Amen. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Can I tell you, it's time to stop not receiving what God is trying to give you. How many say amen to that? Amen. Come on, God is trying to give you things, and it's important that you understand that he's trying to open things up to you. So allow him to do that. Don't just say, nah, that's not good. No, that's just listen to him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become what? The sons of God. There's no gender here. When you receive Christ, you receive him. Amen. Young lady, you become a son of God. Isn't that weird? Sounds crazy, but yes, it is, because Christ dwells in you. The Son of God. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. How many say, I believe God? I believe you, God. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made what? Flesh. What's his name? Jesus. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Father, Lord, open up the spotlight. Let light flood us today, Lord. Let light, Father God, your Son Jesus, flood our spirits today. Lord, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name we ask, Father, Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen and thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can be seated. I am. Hallelujah. Thank you, Debbie. Hallelujah. John chapter 14, verse 6 says this. Jesus said to us, they had just got through. He was getting ready. Chapter 14 on, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure. And he says, hey, I've got mansions. I'm going to build mansions. He's telling, you're going to have a mansion, guys. You know, and he goes, and the way you know the way. And Thomas, one of the 12, tells him, he goes, how do we know the way? We don't know the way, Jesus. How many can relate with Thomas? Wait a minute. What do you mean we know the way? What way? What way is that? And then Jesus says, Thomas, he says, I am. He goes, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. How many say amen to that? No man can get to the Father unless he comes through Jesus. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Now, if you would turn to John chapter 11. The resurrection of Lazarus. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm going to turn with you. It's easier for me to look at this than through the lights. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Here's the word of God. It says in John chapter 11, starting at verse 1, it says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary that anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. I just remind, hey, sometimes things don't look like people care. Is that right? Can I tell you, people care. People love you. Amen? How many know, the Bible says it right there, that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. Is that right? Says it right there. But Jesus waited another couple of days. Is that right? Jesus, that don't look like love, bro. What kind of expression of love is that? You should have just packed your bags and gone right over. What are you waiting for? But see, Jesus was waiting on something. Amen? Seems a little crazy, but he was waiting for him to pass away. Isn't that wild? You wait? What? See, hey, when God's doing things, it's crazy, isn't it? Isn't it fun? It's fun to hear God. But sometimes we're not sure what he's doing. And we go, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? And even his disciples are having problems with this. He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And after that, he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and you go there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. If a man walk in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. Remember who the light is? It's Jesus. Come on, man. Jesus is the light, and he's telling, look, man, you got to have light to walk. Amen? How many know you got to have light to walk? Spiritually, you've got to have light to walk. Isn't that cool? God will give you light where he wants you to go, but you got to wait on him. Wait for the light. Is that right? Wait for it. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. God has been saying, he says, continue, tell my people, continue to wait on me. Wait on me. Get to know me. Get to know me. Hear my voice. Get to know his voice. How many say amen to that? The word of God says this is that you will hear a voice that will say to you, this is the way, walk in it. Hallelujah. He wants to lead you and guide you. He wants to put a light on your pathway. He is the light. And he wants you to walk in the light. Is that cool? Rebecca said it a little bit this morning, and I think I heard it from Sister Linda a little bit, that light. I mean, that, you know, we need to walk in the light. We need to be under instruction on where to go. Is that right? How many know we serve a king? The word of God says that he is the head of the body of Christ. How many say that? How many know that? He's the head. We're the arms, the feet, whatever here on earth. He's the head. Guess where the orders come from? Headquarters, yeah, from the head. That's right. We need to understand that and allow him to lead us and guide us into the places where he desires for us. Amen. I was talking to Pastor John the other day. He was just saying that he was having problems with his heart, and so he went to see the doctor and everything. And you know, folks, this is the thing about God. You belong to him, so he can use you anywhere he wants. How many say okay for that? So if he wants to send you to the hospital, are you okay with that? Everybody goes, no. No, but guess what? This happened to Pastor. It's happened to me before. When you go down, we were talking, and I said, Pastor John, when you get down, then just look around. We have a tendency to think about ourselves and just be, what's that? Just focused on who we are and why we're there. And we forget about everybody that's around us. Is that right? Where God might be saying, hey, look around, look around. Pastor John went through some tests and everything. They couldn't find anything wrong with him. Isn't that right? Amen. Isn't that the word of God? Come on. Yeah, they can't find anything wrong with him. You better not find anything wrong with him. But he was walking out. The doctor just got through. Dude, you're good, man. You're clean. There's nothing wrong with you. I don't even know why you're here. Except that we're taking your insurance money. Is that right? We'll pull that money from you, but I don't know why you're here, man. John was even saying the first time he got there, why am I here, God? I know what your word says, by your stripes I've been healed. I know that. He says on his way out, there's a lady talking to another lady. This one lady is all distraught, and she's crying, and John said he stopped, walked by, and the Lord said, where do you think you're going, big boy? No. In case you guys don't know, this is John. Yeah. Well, guess what? John turned around and went over and talked to him, asked her if she knew Jesus. She did, and was able to pray with her. And when she had calmed down, she was happy. The lady that was with her said this, perfect timing. Can I tell you, the Lord's timing is, he will put you in positions and places that you're not even expecting. And all he says is, hey, just listen for me. Listening to your spirit should be as natural as when you walked out. How many of you walked out to your car this morning? How many realized it was cold? How many of you did that? See, that it should be just that natural. Your body all of a sudden talks to you. It's like, hey, where's the coat? You know, your body's talking to you. The spirit does the same. It should be just that. See, it should be a natural thing in your spirit to hear the things of God. Isn't that cool? We're here for a reason. If I mean, God is saying, hey, I'm going to touch folks. I'm going to use what I've given you to touch people around you. How do you say amen? Come on, man. God loves people. People, even the ones we don't love. Even the ones we're not happy with, God loves. How many say amen to that? I'm telling you, I'm praying for Nancy Pelosi. She kind of gets under my feathers. But I know God can do a mighty work. Yes. If he can do it to Paul, he can do it to her. She could be standing up there and saying, Jesus is Lord. Guess what happened to me this weekend? She can do that. How many say amen to that? See, God can do anything. How many say, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Don't ever forget that. What he says, we sang it this morning. What he says, I believe it. How many say amen to that? Amen. That's right. Praise God. Praise God. Sister Nancy. Well, that feels weird. Yeah. Praise God. Hi, Nancy. It's my sister-in-law, her name is Nancy. Praise God. Verse 11. These things said he after that he had said to him, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then the disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. And Jesus, howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, hey boys, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that you may what? Believe. 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 Oh, I can't tell you how many times God told me about believe. You know, as a matter of fact, let me just, this wasn't even part of my notes, but it come on. Let me show you this. Let me just read this to you. Hold on. I'll find it in a minute. It's almost here. Hallelujah. I know. See, this is what happens when you don't plan well enough. Lord says, amen. I'm giving you this thing, man. So this is what, check this out. Listen to this. Moses was commanded by God to take the sum of the men of Israel, 20 years old and upward. Verse 46 of chapter 1, this is what God, all they that were numbered were 600,000, 3,550. 600 and 3,550 men. When they got close to Jericho, after wandering in the wilderness, God told Moses to take another number, to count them again. And then this time when he counted, there was 601,730. And of the 601,730, only two of them survived. God let the rest of them die in the wilderness because of unbelief. Because they would not believe God. Because he was trying to get them someplace, but they would not believe. Over 600,000 people. Isn't that a lot? That's a lot of folks. And only two went in. Well, the other 603,000. Folks, that's got to say something to us. We've got to believe what God is telling us, especially today. Is that right? If there's ever a time where you better know what God is saying to you, it's right now. Because there are so many voices out there. You better know what God is saying to you personally. You better have a personal relationship with God where he's speaking into your heart. I'm telling you, it's that critical. He wants you to believe him. How many say amen to that? Praise God. He wants you to believe what he's saying. Hallelujah. Check this out. Then said Thomas, which was called Didymus, to his fellow disciples, let us go that we may die with him. And when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave for 4 days already. Now Bethany was near to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, about 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, he will give it you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you see that? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then he says this, verse 26, which is our power verse, whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Hallelujah. Come on, man. How many are alive? How many? Whosoever liveth and believes in me, the word of God says, Jesus got through. You know, I'd be fine with the part where he just said, he that believes in me, though we're dead, yet shall he live. But then Jesus says something different that's way out of kind of context. He said, whosoever believes in me will never die. Then he asks her the question, do you believe this? And folks, I'm just not going to get into all that he's saying with it, but I want you to look at this scripture because, yeah, I believe that he is talking spirit, soul, and body. Because that's the way he designed mankind in the beginning. He told mankind in the beginning, if you don't eat of that tree, you won't die. The minute you eat of that tree, guess what's going to happen? You will die. You see, God has redeemed us by his son. We've been redeemed. The earth has been redeemed. God has done the work. And Jesus is saying, hey, I'm just waiting on my church, on the body of Christ. They have to implement what I've done. You might think you're waiting on God to come back. Well, guess what? He's waiting on us. Isn't that right? He's waiting on us. Hallelujah. We've got to get these things. Amen? Hallelujah. You don't believe me? That's okay. Don't believe me. Go to the Word. Find out. Find what God is saying. Because look, now I'm challenging you a little bit. Because I am telling you, do not believe me. Believe that. Believe the Word of God. You can't go wrong when you go to God with His Word and say, God, I need to know this. You need to show this to me. Because God will show it to you. He'll begin to bring the truth that He wants to give you. Folks, we are raising a generation that is going to... We can take the world. They're going to take the world. I believe we're speaking to a generation. I don't know. I thought I had my phone with me, but I don't. Anybody see my phone? Praise God. Hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Well, I don't have my phone. Rosie's looking. Thank you, Chuck. Carlos is right too, right? Yeah. Pastor John said something today. I read this yesterday in the men's meeting. I'm going to tell you something. We are raising a generation. How many say amen to that? Yeah. Folks, I mean, what you teach your children is important because God says they're not really your children. They've been entrusted to you to bring them up in the manner of the Lord. Is that right? How many know that? So if you know that and you're confident in that, know this, that God will begin to speak things to you so that you can speak to your children. But I want you to hear a text that my granddaughter sent to me. She asked my granddaughter, Lonnie, she'll say, Tata, what's the word for today? Come on, man. Come on. You know that makes your grandfather feel good, especially if he's a pastor. Amen? What's a word for today? Tata, have you got a word for me today? Oh, do I have a word for you? Yeah. And I had told her the word that I had given her was... that you will know the truth, yeah, and the truth will set you free. Amen. And that's what I spoke to her. And then I told her, ask your mom to explain some of it to you, and I'll explain it to you later on. She was in school, and I've already been told by my wife, don't be texting her while she's in school. Oh, okay. And I want you to hear what she sent back to me. She goes, I read it, so good. Mom told me, my daughter is... Nine years old. My granddaughter. She goes, I read it. Mom told me what it means. I know by my stripes I have been healed. And she spelled healed, H-E-L-D, held. I like it both ways. She's held. And I'm already cured, K-U-R-D. Cured. Praise God. And I know that he gave me a vision that I was cured, K-U-R-D, and held me, and he held me in his hands. And then she sent me, that was one part, and then she said, she goes, sorry, I didn't finish. And then she sent me this last part and says, but I was saying that he gave me a dream that I was healed, and he was speaking in tongues, and he told me that it means I was healed and never would come to something like this again. Woo, hallelujah. And I will tell you, folks, we are raising a generation that they're going to stand firm, firm on the word of God. And the world is going to see it. And they're going to say, what is this? This is the generation that God has been talking about. A generation. You're going to see hospital costs come down. Why is that? Because there's a generation that is out doing the will of God and healing and touching. Amen. Operating not in the way the world works, but the way the kingdom of God works. It's the kingdom of God on the earth, and that's who we are. We are teaching and bringing a generation in these things. Let me say amen to that. Glory to God, Father. Thank you for that. But listen, listen, he's got stuff for us. My granddaughter is healed. According to God's word, by his stripes, he's been healed. She has been healed. She's been healed. Hallelujah. And she's learning some things. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? If you get a chance, go to John chapter 8, 51. He says exactly the same thing, because the word of God says by two or three witnesses will anything be established. How many say amen to that? He says the exact same thing. The priests knew exactly what he was saying. He was not talking about a spirit. Well, you're going to live spiritually in heaven forever. You know, it wasn't that. He was talking about the body. Because even the Pharisees said, hey, Abraham, he died. Jesus is telling somebody, hey, yeah, you think you're the sons of Abraham. But guess what? But just go back and look at it, because the word of God does say by two or three witnesses, everything will be established. So what he says here, if you believe in me, you'll never die. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Get a hold of that, because Jesus came to give you life and life more abundant. Is that how you say, man? Do you guys know that he said that? Do you know that he says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus. Is that right? Amen. You step into eternal life the minute you believe God. Do you believe God for these things? Do you believe this? He asked her. Do you believe it? Come on. And I want to say, do you believe it? We have allowed the world and what we see in the world to tell us what's right and what's wrong. We got to start listening to this book. We got to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. That's what we got to start doing. Hallelujah. Quit walking in the imaginations of the world. Woo, hallelujah. So, Pastor, you're getting a little mean on us here. Man, I'm going to tell you something. It's time, folks. The time is now. Perfect timing is what that woman said to John. Timing is everything with God. And we're here for a reason. Is that right? Are you guys okay with that? How many of you are sleeping so far? Yeah. You're all asleep. I see no hands. Hallelujah. Anyway, it says this. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Martha. Is that right? Yes, Lord, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master has come and calls for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now, Jesus was not yet come to the place where Martha met him. And the Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, they followed her, saying, she goes to the grave to weep. And when Mary was come to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. She was right. How many say amen to that? If you'd been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. But Jesus, remember, Jesus had told his apostles, I'm glad I wasn't there for your sakes, because you will see the glory of God. How many say amen to that? How many want to see the glory of God? How many are excited about seeing the glory of God? Hallelujah. I'm ready to see the church busting out, man. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. In every way that any way that God wants to move in our cities and in our states, God, just move. Just do what you want to do. Amen. The earth is the Lord's. It's not the Republicans. It's not the Democrats. It's his. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And guess what? He gave it to a spirit-filled man named Adam, and God has passed that down to us. How many say amen to that? Spirit-filled is something to be. That's who you are. That's cool, man. He said, where have you laid them? Come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Oh, just wait. Amen? You just wait. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, comes to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Amen? And the woman he was talking to, do you believe this? I believe. Now's what she's saying. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinks. You don't want to take that stone away. Amen. You don't want to move. No, man. He stinks, for he's been there 4 days. Jesus said to her, said I not to thee that if you would believe? Just hear these words. Doesn't he tell us if you'll just believe? Just believe. Believe him. Believe him. Said I not to thee that you just believe that you should see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I knew that you heard me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you've sent me. Can I tell you something, folks? When you go someplace and you're in a hospital walking out and there's a lady there that needs help, Lord, that they might know that you have sent us, that your glory might be seen, Father. Amen? Amen. And I know a lot of you have testimony after testimony after testimony, but that the glory of God would be seen. I had touched a woman at a hospital one time when my brother was in the hospital, and she had a toe that was really bothering her, and this is why I want to speak to you. She had a toe that was really bothering her, and they had cut it off, but it got really infected. And she was laying, and while I was outside my brother's room, I heard this lady weeping. So I went over to her and I said, are you okay? She goes, I'm in pain. So I laid my hands on her and I began to pray. And I prayed for her, and I felt the Holy Spirit just, how many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes it feels like an open door. A door slams open, and boom! It's just, folks. I'm trying to say, hey, let's not do random praying. Let's be led by the Spirit to pray. Amen. Those are the areas that you're gonna see the Holy Spirit come. Anyway, I prayed for her, and when I opened my eyes, there was a guy with his hat is on backwards. I wear my hat backwards quite often, but he had his sunglasses on. It's nighttime in the hospital. He had his sunglasses on, and he had tattoos all over and tattoos on his face. And I looked at him and I go, oh, is it? He goes, it's my wife. I was just praying for her. And he didn't say nothing. He just kind of stayed quiet. Well, a little later on, I was outside, and that I saw this guy come. There's a long story, because there was two or three things that God was doing when I was in there, but I don't want to take too much time because I got to get to this. But I was standing outside, and I had just spoken to this couple that I had prayed for, and their son had gotten healed, and they were driving off, and I'm standing. And I said, well, I would turn around to go back in, and there's this guy walking toward me. I didn't realize it was the guy because he had his hat off, and had his sunglasses. I didn't recognize. So he's walking toward me, and he was walking pretty, I'm going to tear you up, boy. And I'm looking at him, and he walks right up to me. He goes, do you work here? I go, no, I don't. He goes, well, you should. I went to find my wife after you. I mean, because he had gone outside, and he went back in. they had put her in a room, and he goes, and I was trying to hear her. So I finally asked the nurse, where's my wife? Oh, she's in the room over there. And he went to go see her in the room. She was sleeping, just sleeping really good. And then he asked the nurse, what'd you give her for her pain? She goes, we haven't given her anything yet. The doctor hadn't even seen her yet. And he said, and I know because I heard you pray. And I had just led this folks to the Lord. So I go, hey, you want to receive Christ? He goes, no. Praise God. And I told him, well, you just remember, when you go to your bed tonight, you remember that God loves you, man, and he loves your wife. Just remember that and tell him thanks. Get on your knees and tell thanks for touching your wife, okay?
Okay.
And that was it. And that was it. Folks, that's for the glory of God, we do these things. For his glory. Hallelujah. Jesus said to her, Said I not to thee that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone, the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, thank you. I thank you that you have heard me. And I knew that you heard me always, because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they might believe that you have sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And when he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with the grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin, Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. And many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Amen. Can I tell you something? When you see something like that, it's easy to believe. Amen. How about in other times when things are going on in your life, and do you still believe? Come on, folks, I'm going to tell you something. It's important that we believe. The just shall walk by faith. You believe what God says. And no matter what, you watch what he said to you, you believe it. What he said to you, let it come out of your mouth. Is that right, sister? Isn't that what we said? Let it come out of your mouth. Let it flow. Let those words that he has given you, let those words. And you watch what God does for you. I'm going to take you to, once again, just John chapter 1, verse 12. He says this, to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. Romans 3:23 says this, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Is that right? How many know that? How many of you know that? Yeah, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, for he has made him, talking about God, and talking about God, it's about God saying what he did for Jesus. He says, he made him to be sin for us. Who? Jesus. God made Jesus to be sin for us. Is that right? So that what? He says, who knew no sins, that we might be what? The righteousness of God in him. Is that right? He took your sins, right? It's an exchange. It is a spiritual thing. You can't really see it, but you have to see it with your heart. He took your sins, cleaned you, washed you, and put his righteousness upon you, and that's what you're walking in. Oh, you might make some mistakes, but it's that righteousness that will speak to you by his spirit that will say, hey, no, 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 no. Let's get close to God. Watch this. We will wash this by the water of the word. How many say amen to that? God washes us by his water, by the word of God. That's how he cleans us. That's why if you're having trouble in any area, I don't care what it is, the TV will tell you all your problems and tell you what to do about it. Amen? Profits nothing. What his word says, that will profit you. God will wash things from you by the water of his word. It's cool, man. Whatever's going on in you. So we have become the righteousness of God. We died when we believed he died for us. Since we died with him. How many know that we died with him? Is that right? Galatians chapter 2:20 says this. For he, Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet it's not I that live. It's Christ, what? Lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And the more first part of it says, I am crucified with Christ. Yes, your sins were nailed to that cross. You were nailed to that cross. Amen? Amen. When they took him, praise God, get this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, look at this. For you are dead. Look at your neighbor and say, you're dead. You dead. And your life, I like the way it says it in the scripture. It says, your life is hid. Is that right? Your life is hid with Christ in God. He is the light, and your life is hid. The Bible says that nothing hidden, there's nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. See, a lot of times you think, well, that's just talking about sin. No, it's not. It's also talking about who you are. There's nothing hid that will not be revealed because the light will shine on it. Your life is hid in God. That's why you personally have to go to God to find out what he has for you. Personally, come on, that's a good word, man. Good word, Pastor. Yeah, hallelujah. Yeah, that's a good word, man, because you have to find it personally. It doesn't work. It doesn't pass down generation to generation. It works with you finding out what God has for you. Your life is hid and it needs light. How many they say, amen? It's God, give me light. Show me. Let me see things. Praise God. Hallelujah. Your life is hid with him. Romans 8:10 says this. Christ be in you. How many say amen? Amen. Your body is dead because of sin. Amen? Do you guys get that? Sin has no more effect on you. Why? Because when you're dead, you can't sin. How many say, isn't that right? That guy can't crawl up out of the grave and sin because he's dead. Amen? Bible tells us to reckon ourselves as dead, to consider yourself that you're dead to this world, but alive to Christ. Your life is hid in Christ. Amen? Oh, God, you got to listen, go watch this. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Is that right? He's given you his righteousness. Now there's a spirit within you that is what he calls life. Now look at this next verse. But if, let me say if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, if he dwells in you, that he that raised Christ from the dead shall also, what? Quicken your, what? That mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. You see, it is the Holy Spirit's job to clean you up and to quicken you. Hallelujah. Folks, how many, we've said it all our lives, to be like Jesus. How many want to be like Jesus? Well, folks, it takes resurrection to be like Jesus. He's got to raise you up, and it's hid within you. Woo, hallelujah. I've had times where I've said, Lord, I know, but I, you know, folks, God, are they going to get this? How many are you getting what I'm saying to you this morning? God has brought resurrection into your life that he might make you. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. When your body's messing with you, I mean, you know what I mean? When it's coming in defiance of what you know, can I tell you your body will defy you? Will it? It will, it will, it will, it will. It's going to come against you and it's going to try to tell you things and then your mind's going to go crazy. But God does not speak to your mind. He speaks to your heart and he tries to renew your mind so that you'll immediately say, no. Like Pastor John, what am I doing here? I believe that by his stripes I've been healed. I shouldn't be in a hospital office. Amen? Or doctor's office. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes we need doctors. But I will tell you what, you have a doctor. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. By his stripes, you have been healed. How many say amen to that? It is resurrection life that to as many as believed him or received him, to them gave he power, what? To become sons of God. To be just like Jesus. Men and women. Just like Jesus, no matter where you go. So I'm going to get you to stand, if I will. And once again, I'm going to speak over you in the name of Jesus because of the word that we just heard. Hallelujah. It is resurrection power that comes upon the body of men and women. Hallelujah. For God to do the work, it's his resurrection power. We're going to see the death, burial, and resurrection here in just a few minutes. And I got to get to it, but let me just pray for you. And Sister, Pastor John, can you put your hands on Debbie's leg? Terry, would you do that? I know you're there, but I don't know. Folks around her, put your hands on her because she needs a touch in her foot. And I believe that resurrection power will flow into that foot, remove all obstacles of calcium or whatever the doctors have said to you, and transform this foot into what God has determined.
I believe I'm
come on. Come on. That's exactly right. Come on. So let's believe with her. Father, we thank you for resurrection power. We thank you, Lord, for what you paid for on the cross to give to your children. And so, Lord, we just speak into Pam in her leg in the name of Jesus. How many of you are agreeing already? Are you agreeing? We just speak to her in Jesus' name. You will not lose this, but you will not. Hallelujah. He came to destroy the destruction that is upon that foot. So in Jesus' name, we speak to it. In Jesus' name, we speak to your circulation. We speak to your body in Jesus' name. Be conformed to the word of God according to the word of God in Jesus' name. If you say amen. If you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you. Father, I don't care what's in the house. Father, your people are the healthiest people in the world. Your people are saved by grace and healed, hallelujah, by the stripes of your dear son. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak over this congregation. I speak over the body of Christ in the earth. Be conformed to the word of God. Receive the healing, sons and daughters of God. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. We're going to have some songs a little bit while we change. Hey, shake somebody's hand. And if you have to go, you can go. But we're going to have a little baptism session here. Praise God. Thank you for being so patient. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.